Tithagah Shir is a pasuk that at least the first half of the pasuk is familiar to everyone. And it's interesting that Rashi, and particularly the Gra here, I mean, the famous Chazal is not mentioned by the Gra at all. Hacham Yelevi Kach Mitzvah Zeh Moshe, right? Moshe was a Chacham Lev because he involved himself in the Atzmos Yosef, and one of the Sforim writes, I think the Kli Yoker, if I'm not mistaken, writes that Vayikach Moshe's Atzmos Yosef Imoi. What is the extra word Imoi? Of course, Vayikach Moshe's Atzmos Yosef. So he says the Imoi means that this gave him the schar that the Chacham Lev gets. Imoi means he can take it with him. You know the expression, you can't take it with you, but this is something you can take with you. You know, I always speak about the Pirkei Avos says that ain't covered el Torah, shenemar, and they bring a pasuk covered chachomim yincholu. So the question is, why is covered chachomim yincholu a raya that ain't covered el Torah? So you could say because it mentions chachomim, and we know lola chachomim lechem. So what else could they possibly have covered from? So when it says kavod chachomim yincholu, but I think that the real reason is because you cannot use the word nachala for kavod. Kavod is one of the most ephemeral things. It's something that even in one's person's life generally is extremely fleeting. So the question is, how can you have a nachla of kavod? So that's how they know that ain't kavod ela Torah. So the same thing here. You have Vayikach Moshe as Atzmos Yosef Imoi. What can you take with you? You know, I told you once a long time ago, I believe, I told you a Maisa with a Gvir in Manhattan. He came originally from Bialystok. He held me as a baby in his hands by the bris. So I had something of a connection to him from ancient history. And some yeshiva wanted me to go to him and ask him for money. He was a very wealthy man. He had real estate, he had paintings, he was an art connoisseur. He had very expensive paintings. They were not only on the walls of his house, but they were stacked up, one against the other, against the wall also. He was a very eccentric person. He never got married, didn't have a family. And I don't think he even had kreivim except for two nieces in Argentina, who eventually, of course, got all the money. But Lemaisa, in the attempt, I came to him. And of course, we spoke in Yiddish. That was our mamaloshen. And I told him, Mesiach Lefitumi, he was already in his 90s. I said to him, V'yich Fashtei, Yot Gehata Asach Gelt Noch Fadim Melchoma. So he said, yes, his emes. He was excited about the idea. And even before the Melchoma. Yich Gehelt Asach Gehata Asach Heizel. Geisa Meuren in Berlin or somewhere, wherever it was. He says, yes, his emes. So I said to him, if you had all these houses in Berlin before the war, how did you manage to bring them to America? Because he was a gvir already when he arrived. So he starts to laugh. So I said, so what did you do? So he says, he bought diamonds. A lot of diamonds. And those of the Chagai gebracht in America. I didn't ask him how. But Lebaisa, so I said to him, "Ihr meint zu sagen, as amol über zu firma granit staffen beiden de meuren von de diamanten, weil meuren kämen nicht schleppen mit sich." Sagt er, "Yeah, das sag ich dir." He says, "That's what I'm telling you, that you can't take the buildings, you have to exchange the buildings for something that's portable." So I tell him, there's one border that everybody goes. I thought it's such a terrific pitch. Anyhow, but the idea, it remains. It just, he didn't have, I have to tell you, he didn't have the schutz. Is a very big yesod. I once heard it from an Adon Gadol Miyot. And I believe it's even in Sfarim. In order to be zoyeh to do mitzvahs, especially mitzvahs which bring you on very high madregas to Olam Haba, and particularly mitzvahs tzedakah, you have to have a zchus.
Satan kriegt da rein.
A person decides in a second that he's keeping the money when he has an opportunity to do glorious things, which will in the end benefit him more than the person that everybody says. That the Ani does more for the Balabais than the Balabais does for the Ani. That's written all over all the Sfarim.
Why isn't it a simple cheshbon? The Teretz says, medafot maschus.
There's such a thing of holding on to what you have. It's terrible. So that person didn't have the schus. He didn't have it. He simply did not have the schus. It's interesant.
So lemaisa rabbeisai, imoi, says the Kli Yoker, I believe, is... he got that special schus that he got something that he was able to take with him, meaning with Moshe Rabbeinu, all the way.
But here we do not have that chazal, and we do not have that emphasis at all.
Instead, the Gra introduces us to another Gemara, a Gemara in Sanhedrin. So the Gra says, Mishlei Perek Yud Pasuk Ches, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs, Ve'evil Sfasayim Yilaveit. And in the Lev, there's Lev and there's Fasayim, right? So, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvah, Ve'evil Fasayim Yilaveit. So, what's that all about? What does Yilaveit mean? It's not 100% clear, but it means he'll be tishtet, he'll be damaged. Chacham Lev V'goymer Pirish. K'mosh Amu B'Gemara, that means the Gemara in Sanhedrin that you have in the next paragraph after the Biur Yagra. Pirush she maskana afilu klape shmaya mahanya. The hainu she im yoima lomocha ashkim baboike lilmoid hu yiye nichshal bazer velo yamoid. You heard that, Maisa? Everybody talks about making plans, having agendas, writing out your seder hayom, as it were. People say, I will do this, I will do that. We are not talking now Hilchus Nedarim. This is not the emphasis. The emphasis is not that a person might not be Mekayim what he says, so he shouldn't make Nedarim, and he shouldn't say, except, you know, you can be Neder in certain cases. We have to be Mechazik yourself, right? Okum ve'esh nedov azeh, neder godol nodel elokei Yisrael. But Lamaisa, he's not talking Nedarim. He's talking something else completely. What is it? What is it exactly that he wants? The person says, Ashkim baboyker lilmoit, uyiye nichshal bazev lo yamot. It will not happen. The zehu, chacham leiv yikach mitzvahs, tekev kishabol yodoy, ve'enoy masha oisam. So in other words, what he's saying is that the machshava you have, you should make it lamaisa immediately. Don't leave it for another moment. So is this Al Toimelik Shepana Eshna Shemaloi Sipana, or is this something else? Let's see. The Evil Pirush. Avomishu Evil, which is the opposite of the Chacham Lev. The Einoi Oise Tekef, Elo Oime Bisfos of Sheyasa Chakach, Oilomocho, Ilovate, Pirush Yia Nichshal Bazev Elo Yasekla. So he says that this is the mirror image in the negative of what he's recommending in the positive. Do it right away. But it's more than do it right away. It's don't turn it into a plan, a project. So we have to see what that's all about. There's another gra that's very much connected to this. B'chol etzev yiyeh moysar. B'chol ma'isat perik yudalit pasukhov gimel. B'chol ma'isat sheyasa odom melocha, yesh boi moysarois verevach lefamim. Udvar sasayim ach lemachsar. Avol diburim rabim lo daish lo yia meisaris verevach elo yia rak lemachsar. It's very interesting. He says that even in secular activities, the words are a problem. The words cause damage. Do it. But he says v'chein b'tayra b'chol etzev she'oise teike v'loyach mitzeno b'mehirus be'eish she'yizdamin liyodoy. He should do it. Loyach mitzeno means he should not postpone it. Mitzvah boliotcha altach mitzeno, right? Ushmatim es hamatzis. But mehirus, he should do it right away. But eitz she yizdamin liyodo yu lemoisa. That's going to give you benefits. That's what he means by lemoisa. It'll give you additional things. It'll give you improvements. But avol misha medabe bisfasayim she yasa chakach. Ach lemachzer, ki machshava mayeles afilu klape shamayim. Here he quotes the word machshava mo'eles. Usually when we find the word mo'eles, it's in a positive sense. It means there's a positive consequence. Here, it's the exact opposite. It means machshava mo'eles. Well, you know, some want to learn that the word in the Gemara also means like me'ila, like it does damage. But I think that mo'eles could be learned as a neutral word. Mo'eles means it has consequences. Sometimes consequences are good, and that's the way we use the word generally. Sometimes consequences are not very good. So machshava mo'eles means machshava has a power to cause effect. What effect does it cause? It causes the negative effect that the ma'isa will not happen. It's a remarkable thing. Machshava mo'eles afilu klapei shamayim. We speak so many times about machshava toiva. Machshava toiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfo l'ma'isa. And all of a sudden there's a gemara in Sanhedrin that says machshava is not good. Machshava is not good. Is it because of laziness? Because you might not get to it? Or is it something else? Let's see. Oma'ula. Machshava mo'eles afilu l'divrei toiva shenema. Meifir machshava yisarumim. Tushia, they will not be able to achieve Tushia. Tushia is Torah. Torah Mateshes Kaychus Shalado. Amar Rabba, im asukin lishma, ainu mayalas. Shenema, Rabbis machshavis belevish vaatzas Hashem he sokum. Eitz hashiyesh b'dvar Hashem he tokum liolam. Rabba mitigates a little bit. Rabba, the pain here, he does not allow for the full consequences of what was just said in the Gemara. He says, if you really mean it, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfo l'ma'isa, and Rabbi's machshava is belevish, but if that machshava is synonymous with Atzas Hashem, he sokum, that machshava will prevail. So, you know, it's very interesting. This pasuk you can learn many different ways. I had a Talmud, and he said, he came late every day. So finally I said to him, Yankala, whatever his name was, Yankala, how you talking? So he says, Rebbe, I don't know, I just sleep late. So I said to him, get an alarm clock. So he says, okay, Rebbe, I'll get an alarm clock. No, 2 days have passed, and the third day he's late again. So I said, Yankala, you didn't get an alarm clock. He says, Rebbe, I don't know. I got the alarm clock, but I don't know, something happened. I must have not set it up properly. So I said, Yankala. So he says to me, Rabbi Smachshav is belevish. What could I do, you know? Like, Rabbi Smachshav is belevish. I mean well. So I said, yeah, I know, but Vatsas Hashem he. Taku. Just get up, that's right. But anyhow, the Untish Teshur is this pasuk. Is Rabbis Machshav Zlevish, normally how would you teach it? There are many, many thoughts that people have, maybe all kinds of thoughts, maybe even negative thoughts, but the Ribon Shalom prevails. Here, he's saying it in a very positive spin. He says that if you have a Machshav to do something good, that's the point, that normally that might not be successful. In fact, you'll see soon that the Machshav might itself be an Achilles heel. It's almost as if to say that's causing the failure. But if it's mamish lishma, that machshava is going to prevail. I want you to know that I brought for you, the Reb Nachman Breslover, I think this is maybe the first time that I quoted Reb Nachman Breslover, but I don't think anyhow. But this Reb Nachman Breslover takes this idea of Rabbah almost to its ultimate place. Let's take a look for a minute and you'll see what I mean. So you know, Reb Nachman Breslover does not write his own svarim. That's Reb Nosson and others, but they always quote him. They mention it in his name, and there are a huge number of svarim. Omar Rav Hakadosh Reb Nachman Breslover Zatzal Da sheyesh bibnei adam segulos gedolos ki yochaylim lifel al yedei machshavto ma sheim chayshvim vafilu ayakus chas v'sholom huba mi machshavos bnei adam. He He says that even in non-Torah inyanim. He says the single-minded, complete, absolute commitment and devotion to an idea that you have, to a fault, where there's no interruptions, no interferences, no static, nothing. Ad hanekuda, he calls it. He says that has the ability to move mountains. That has the ability to turn the world upside down. And the machshava has to come to fruition. It's almost like a guarantee that he gives. He says, Avo, then he writes, Al yedezeh poelim shebehechrich yekein k'mo shem choshem v'gam shamachshova tiye b'proti protius. He says, that kind of machshava that I'm talking about has to be to the finest detail of the plan. It's not some general, inchoate idea that, you know, I have a machshava, I have a plan, I have a thought, maybe I should do something. That's not what he's talking about, he says. Avo kishekoshev b'derech klau, that's like the forms of kelim, not the actual kli itself. He says that this is true even as far as Torah is concerned. He means a person has a plan that he's going to finish Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. So listen to the way he writes. He says it doesn't have to be just that. He should make the picture in his mind. In other words, he writes out a full protocol. He has the agenda written out, the whole thing, in his machshava. Five simonim a day, or five pages a day. He says it has to be something that is absolute and is possessing him. He says it doesn't have to be just Shulchan Aruch, of course. Obviously repeating himself to make the point again and again. That's very common in all the breaths of the Sfarim, the tremendous amount of repetition. Right. He quotes the same Gemara. Interesting, isn't it? Is gemar doch mamish punkt verkehrt. Da heinu shemay elas um esayas lo ze afilu le divrei taira. Da afa pi she rashi pi shon be inyan acher. Afa pi kein hukach. Ihr hat da meise. Veloy siem levayer hadova yoise. Ve elu ve elu divrei le kim chay. He say, I'm not going against Rashi. I am inviting you to see the other half of the picture. Because he himself said that unless that machshava is so possessing of you, is so absolute, then lehefech, it's not going to work. He says, that's what the Gemara is talking about. The reason, if I would be allowed to be a shtickle, my own personal Pirush Rashi, but the reason that the Gemara uses the word mayales is precisely because of the neutrality of that word. Do you understand what I mean? In other words, if the Gemara would have said machshava mekalkelis, so mekalkelis is mekalkelis. There's no two ways about it. If the Gemara would have used the word machshava noisenes char or something like that, then you'd know that it's very positive. There's nothing you can do about that either. But the word mayelis means impact. Impact can go in either direction. So that's what he's saying. He's saying that if it were up to me, I would have said, that's really the taich of lishma. In other words, what Rabba was saying is that when you have a machshava, normally that machshava has all kinds of ulterior motives. But he's not talking about ulterior motives versus purity of motive. He's talking about being possessed, like a demon is possessing you. The Emerson is, I always mention this, I don't know where I saw it or heard it, but they tell the story that when the Panuvijarab was in
in Brazil. So he came to Sao Paulo and he saw this magnificent yeshiva building, or Beis Yaakov, and he said, where is the Meshugana? Where is the Meshugana? So what does it mean, where is the Meshugana? What Meshugana? They looked at him. Like, you know, he says, Tzabayin azad binyan dafen zayin afrisha Meshugana. In other words, you have to be seized and possessed with a certain kind of demon. It's not an insanity. It's the greatest sanity. It's the biggest sanity. But you have to be possessed. It means b'shach b'chov kumecha b'lechtecha b'aderech. It's b'chol mi'aydecha. It's b'chol b'shnei yitzarecha. It's everything. It's that kind of complete and absolute focus which does not allow you to rest. It does not allow you to let things stand in your way. But the point that he's making is, that's the Maisa Shabbat. But where does that Maisa come from? That's the point. It comes from that mental state, from that complete and absolute giving yourself over to something as if you were possessed by a demon, by a dick. And when a person has that commitment to an idea, Reb Nachum Bessel is practically giving him his personal guarantee that it has to come to fruition. It's a remarkable thing. The emphasis is that this goes far beyond plan. You know, you could say, he says you have to dot the I's and cross the T's, as they say. He says you have to plan it out completely. He doesn't mean because if you don't have a good plan, it's not going to happen because the confusion of it is not going to allow you to do it lamaisa. That's not what he's talking about. He means that when someone's obsessed with something and he thinks about it day and night, he figures out every detail long before anything has happened. That is this one perspective on that chazal. Going back, Rashi says, very, very, also, it's frightening, this Rashi. Machshava mayelas. What is mayelas? So I would have said that you're not going to end up learning, which other mefarshim say. He says you'll forget your Torah. Machshava mehanyo lishakeach limudai. Mehanyo lishakeach limudai. That's his first pshat. Look at the two lines down. Lishnachrina. Machshava sh'odam mechashiv kach v'kach esa kach v'kach tala biyodi. Right? So my elis lahashbis hadova she'ein machshavtoi miskayemes afilu b'divrei Torah kegoin ha'omer ad yoim ploini asayim kach v'kach masechtois begirsa. And that's his second shot. Tosfos says machshava my elis afilu b'divrei Torah. So the first shot is machshava means worry. Pirish riva daigas leiv ha'odam al mizonoisav. Is preoccupied with making a parnasa. Mahanyo lishakeach mimenu kol sha'ar machshavos av machshavos divrei Torah. These kind of worries and preoccupations are so possessive of a person that it doesn't allow him to think clearly about anything else, and he's not going to be able to learn or function. Okay? Yesh mefarshim mayeles mishakeres. It ruins v'loy titzlach. And maybe from the word me'ilo, actually. Kloimar im adam choshev hein lahashir. Even in secular things. Says a remarkable thing. That the machshava does damage. So what is that all about? The Yad Ramah. Machshava means other people's plans, plots, and ploys. But here, Lishna Achrina, V'yesh Oimrim, the next paragraph here in the Yad Ramah, V'yesh Oimrim, Machshava she'odo mechashva kach v'kach tala biyodi, Ma'eles lahash bis hadover. It's the same point. The Lishna Achrina, Rashi, Tosfos, the Yad Ramah, the Machshava does damage to the thing itself. She'ein machshavtoi miskayemes. V'afilu l'divrei Torah, kol kagoyin, Ha'omer ad yoim ploini asayim kach v'kach masechtos begirsa. Meifir machshavos arumim she'ein machshavtam oile biyodom afilu l'toshiyo v'zeh ha'pirush ha'achrin hu anochay. Beis ha'bechira.
La'olam yei adam shakud l'umay toira tamid v'lo yoyma l'kshepone eshne shemachshova shumachashe b'libay mikan v'ad yoy ploini asayim kach v'kach v'eini tzara kol kach lishkoid may elasi l'ba aleo t'aloyma she'ena miskayemiz v'av v'divrei toira. Is the Meiri Kedarkei Vakodesh wants to eliminate any segula aspects, supernatural aspects to this. So he connects it first of all to the Chazal of Al Toimer, like Sheefner Eshne, because Chazal themselves say Shem Aloy Sipana. And postponing manana is not an attitude for many reasons, but they're very logical and reasonable. Number one, if you are not ready to do it now, it's probably not important enough for you to do it altogether. Number two, there's something holding you back, and that same mania might appear again, or it might even be worse. Number three, you may not be around. You might be busy with things that you had no choice but to be busy with in the future, etc., etc. Who says you'll have the opportunity? So, l'maisa, al tamad shepon eshne shem aloy sipon. The Rambam, I believe, goes one step further in the third parak of Hilchos Talmud Torah, and I think he's saying that whatever you're doing during that interval is going to clinch your lack of appetite for Torah on the highest level, because what you're going to be doing is pulling you away into the world, into the secular world, into the mumminess of the world, into the common of the world, and none of that is helpful or beneficial for Torah. Other Rabbah Lehefech. So the person who says tomorrow, what's he doing today that he has to postpone until tomorrow? All those things will come back to haunt him. So whatever it is, they're very practical and very logical and very reasonable. But if you look at the other Mefarshim who do not necessarily quote that Chazal and do not speak in such logical terms, he says it himself. He says, he says that part of his thinking is that I have time to do this. Person has a deadline. He says, it's enough if 2 days before the deadline I'll get involved with it. Why do I have to do it now? In learning, that is a simon of a lack of shkida, a lack of hasmada, a lack of focus, of concentration, of concern. So memela, he's not going to do it. So you see how balabatish this approach is. It's just a very straightforward approach, logical and reasonable. But you don't find that in the other sfar. The Marsha, he quotes Rashi in Tosfos, which is the same the Adrama also. For Oid Yesh Leima, that filu ledivrei Torah sheikara b'machsheves halev, my elis it does damage. V'loy sagi leilumayt oisa b'machshava b'vad, elatzara gamkein lemigrisa b'peh. He takes a different approach to the whole sugya. It's very hard to understand how he understood Rabbah. That Rabbah says, but if you learn Lishma, then Machshava is Mayelis. It's like, doesn't sound like the difference is between, you know, thinking about something. Of course, he's thinking Lishma and he's saying Lishma. It's better to say than just to think. Because when the thing comes out of your mouth and you hear it with your ears, it's much better to focus and to structure and stuff that you do it. That Dvarim are able to bring the thing more clearly into focus. But the Mashor's Pshat runs counter to the entire arsenal of Mefarshim. The Medrash Shmuel. The Medrash Shmuel is a phenomenal collection of, I mean, the original you can hardly read. I saw this in the original and I copied it over. The original is very, very hard to read. It's in that Rashi, but it's a funny Rashi print, and it's very hard to read. It's an old, old Sefer. But they republished it. I just didn't happen to have it at hand. So Lemaisa, this is what the Medrash Shmuel de Ozida, he has a fantastic collection of Mefarshim on Pirkei Avos. So he writes on Emor Ma'at V'Haseh HaBei. Who said that? Of course, Shammai. Shammai is, you know, Sei Taros HaKeva, Emor Ma'at V'Haseh HaBei, and Hevi Mekabel is Kol Adam, the Sefer Ponim Yafos. What is Emor Ma'at V'Haseh HaRbeh? So the Shmuel de Ozida has there 20 Pirushim going on for several pages. But this is one of them. And this one is Noigei Atas. Emor Ma'at V'Haseh HaRbeh. So he says, if it will be Emor Ma'at, that will guarantee the Haseh HaRbeh, because the Emor, which is the same as Machshav according to him, that's it's versus Asiyah, getting it done, thinking about it, talking about it, planning it, that damages the asiyah. He's going in the same line, but look at how he writes. Ve'od shamati b'mesha oma emor ma'at v'aseh harbeh, shebo lahazir lo'odom, shemei oylom lo yoytzi mipiv ha'toivo shebelibo lasos. He should never express out loud the intention that he has, whatever good thing he wants to do. It could be tztaka, chesed, Torah, whatever. Lo yoymar, es mitzvah zu hayoyim, oy elmoit chamisha prokim hayoyim. Ki hasegulo hu, sheksha odon moitzio bisfosov. He writes gulo, this is the exact opposite of what I was saying in the Meiri. This is a supernatural thing. Hasgulo hu, sheksha odon moitzio bisfosov, os enoi oisa oisa mitzvah enoi loymit masha omar. Why? What? If you're telling me that once he talks about it, you know, he's going to get lazy, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying the minute you talk about it and it's already in the works. Everything starts with what goes on in your mind or in your heart. But he says that if you talk about it, the Satan gets involved to mess you up. Ki ha-Satan mekatreg umevi olav kama ikuvim. The kivon shemaitziyoi bisfasov miyad hadover nishma beina mekatrigin. It sounds like the mekatrigin cannot read your mind. I think what it says is as follows: machshavos are very, very fragile. They're like, you know, ideas. Ideas, you can't latch onto them. Not l'toiv and not l'ra. So that's what mitzarfa l'maisa. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu mitzarfa. You have something that needs to be forged. So you have a piece of metal, it's useless. You cannot take that metal and use it as a sword. But if you forge it, then you can use it as a sword. That's the idea of mitzarfa l'maisa. Or it could mean to purify, which essentially is the same point. A machshava is so vague that it doesn't have that substance, and you need to create that concrete product. What is that consequence? That the mekatrigin and the ma'akvim cannot attach themselves to machshava, because it's not there yet, if you know what I mean. There's nothing there yet. But once it becomes a dibur is already a chefza. And in that chefza, they can attach themselves to prevent it and do damage. Let's just finish. The kibbutz shematzia b'sfasov miyad adova nishma beina mekatrigin u'ma'akvim biyodo. V'lachein omar. Loi. He said to him, emor ma'at ubozet ha'asa harbe. That's what I told you. He says, not emor ma'at, but asay harbe. If it will be emor ma'at, the consequence, the benefit will be that you'll be able to do. Now tell me the truth. How many of you have ever thought such thoughts before? It's a chiddush nifla. Everybody thinks that I have to do a plan as follows. First, I have to think about something, and I have to think it through. I'm not talking about a non-aggressive level of thing. He's talking about something else altogether. He's talking about obsession. But we think a thought, and then we talk about it, and we discuss it with our friends, we discuss it with people that we care, give us choice per yates, and then we sit down to make it happen. And what's wrong with that? And all of a sudden there's a Gemara and a whole slew of Mefarshim, and Bishmuel Zita kind of clinches it on that level, that this is something that has an inherent danger to it just by virtue of the fact that the plan is becoming a plan before it becomes generated into a Maisa Minei Ubei. At once. The delay isn't the cause either. It's not so much the delay. You know, if you postpone something, maybe you won't have the same enthusiasm, etc. The only one that explains it like that is the Meiri. May aim that. And connects it. That's a delay. But they don't say it's because of the delay. They say it's because you had the machshava, extended the machshava before you did the maisa. The machshava does damage to the maisa. Why should it be so? So he says, because there are ikuvim and mekatrigim. It's like a very interesting thing. A person does something before the sudden chaps that he's doing it. They're very interesting also. In nature, we don't know which is the yetzahara and which is the sudden that's acting. Very often we don't know. Sometimes we know. We know that a person's machshava is perfect and his intentions were wonderful and he tries to do something and he does it with all of his heart and is kefnisht. like you have sometimes somebody's roi that the world should be changed because of him, or the Torah should be given on his account, but the door wasn't zaycha. That's the kind of thing that an external factor gets involved. Sometimes it's who you are and your own personal natias. Lamosha. Everybody knows that if the right person gets up on Shabbos and gives a drasha about a certain inyan, like to give tzedakah to a certain matzah, and he can really wind up the people and make them enthusiastic, and at that moment, if he had the checkbook in him and he was able to write out the check, he would write out a check for $1,000. And he wouldn't even make cheshbonos. Maybe it's too much. Maybe other people give. It's the collective that matters. It's not my donation. I have to give to others. V'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. But of course, he can't write a check on Shabbos. They didn't make a special dispensation for checks. The Gemara says in Gittin Daf Ches, Amud Beis, so the Gemara says that right? So it's the halacha of Surya that it's like the suburbs of Shalayim is b'negeya to Hilchus Shabbos. Loima shekaisvim alav einay v'apilu b'Shabbos. You can write the shtar mechira even on Shabbos. The Gemara says b'Shabbos al kadaita. How can you write on Shabbos for anything? So it says Ella Rabba Dama Amir la'akum shvus hachinami Amir la'akum shvus. It's also to tell a guy to write a shtar mechira. Yeah, that's generally so. But Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael Loi Gaza Barapa. So there are some times that you're allowed to write Al Yidei Akum, but that's Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That's not so partial. But I see, you can't write a check on Shabbos. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I mean, in case you didn't know. So Lamaisa, if you can't write a check on Shabbos, you have to wait till Metzai Shabbos. Metzai Shabbos, he takes out the checkbook, he has a completely different set of thinking going on inside of his head, which includes what? That's what I want to know. Now, I don't mean what does he think. He thinks the thoughts that make the check. You know, the check from $1,000 sometime in the middle of the chont already went down to $100. The shayla is when he writes the check, but say Shabbos, if it's 18 or 36. That's really what it boils down to. You know, that's what happens, you know. So the question is, why does it happen? This is my question. So very often it happens because of what we call fundamental human nature. The things that we were talking about, the Vilna Goyim, from Perek Aleph to Perek Tes, over and over and over again. The Tavani and the Kasani and all of the things that are basic, natural, human, animal instincts. We want to hoard, we want to preserve, we want to keep our money. We have all kinds of cheshbonos, why not to give? And it becomes very sophisticated. Some of these cheshbonos are very, very complex. But the fact is that it's our netiyos and our own personal nature that's making those cheshbonos and preventing us from doing the right thing. The right thing. But there's also satan. There's also maisa satan. A satan can get, he needs time. He needs the time. He needs those few moments of Shabbos to chap what's going on. And if, at the moment that somebody gets him enthused, he takes out the checkbook, writes the check, and hands the check over, the satan's kaput. Because even the satan needs time. It's an interesting idea. This is just an idea. This isn't. So why does the satan need time? It could be 100 days. It could be the speed of light. It doesn't have to be. Satan is the satan. Aber lemaisa, you see a moyudik azach, because he cannot attach himself to machshava. And if the machshava turns into a maisa instantaneously, it's almost impossible to catch a person. The problem is that he makes plans. And while he's making plans, the satan makes his own plans to make a mochama against him. And that's where you have this tremendous need for an unbelievable level of siyata d'shmaya for anything to happen. The truth of the matter is, when a person is single-minded and in that kind of focus, his own personal nature is not going to get in the way. Because every aspect, that's what I meant earlier by b'shnei yitzarecha, I didn't just mean it as a melitza. The forces inside of the person, including all of his bahamistic forces, are poised to achieve what he must do. But maisa satan there could be. Because that's a different story entirely. And b'chein lehefech. Could be times
that the Satan decides not to get involved, either because he doesn't think it's necessary or for other reasons. And Ontish Teshuva is that the person ruins it for himself because of his nature. So this is really what's going on to some extent in the play over here. So we'll take a look at the Pele Yoyetz. Ksiv b'tachbulo istasa l'chom l'choma v'kama armumius aremus v'tachbulo is odom oisa l'chvoid atzmai u'kedei l'arviach mamai. He says, imagine how many people stay up all night planning and scheming. That's what he means. They scheme schemes. They figure out methods, tricks, how to overcome an obstacle, how to undermine another person, how to get ahead in life, etc. In momentous in yonim, al achas kama v'kama. Tzorich loshis eitzos b'nafshe v'tachbulis k'day l'lochem el'chemes choyva neged atzah atzorer. Meaning the Yetzirah, ki u'melach zokein, ki ish melchomis yoyo kino yori af yatzriach, es ha'odom, v'hine l'chol dova toiv, sheyirza odom lasois, ha'sotan oimid al yeminoi, l'sitnoi, v'limnoya toiv mi ba'oleho. Shei omru razal, yargiz odom yetzir toiv al yetzirah, imnotz chomuto v'imlav yasik b'toira. V'chein omru, impaga b'chom menuvel zem, ashkeu l'beis ha'medrash, im even hu nimuach v'im barzol mispoitzitz. Inay kichein yetsa samuch masisoi has his kafful shalayasik beturb shalayelach lebeisamedrash. He says, you see from this Gemara that they say Eitzah is how to overcome that Yetzah, that the Yetzah is busy keeping you from going to the Beis Medrash and keeping you from learning Torah. V'chein ksiv shimu usachi nafshechem shal yidei ashkido lishmoy devrei Torah tachi nafshei v'yetze somach masisa shei meisir ozna mishnoy Torah, because he doesn't want him to have a chayim nitzchiyim. V'chein amru sheyizka lo yom ha-misa, right? If everything else fails, yaske yom ha-misa v'yetze somach masisa shafilu ben shivim shon yizabayu tikazav. The Pele Yoyetz, I always found, has a certain affinity with the Chafetz Chaim's Mahal. It's many generations apart, centuries apart, but there's a certain style, a certain way of writing, a certain amchadika approach with a tremendous idea of Chazal. So he says, Gibakuk, he says, a person 70 years old, and he thinks he's going to live another 70, 80 years. You ask him logically, Yankala, you're an old man already, how will you expect to live? He's going to tell you the truth. He says, it's only in God's hands. Then he goes out the next day and does ke'ilu, he's living for another 80 years. Listen to the way he writes about it. He says, "Shafilu mu ben shivim shana ben shmeinim shana sheyachshav shadayin yichya oit shmeinim shana." V'yei makshe libay kadei sheyipol bara. So he says, this is the eitz of the yetzara. V'chein kayotz, but he uses the word satan and yetzara almost interchangeably. We are subtly distinguishing between the two forces inside and outside. He writes, "V'chein kol kayotz baze." He says there's only one way. He says if the Yetzer is so powerful that he can make an 80-year-old think he's going to live another 80 years, and this isn't logical, and this isn't logical thinking, but the way he lives his life, it proves that he's functioning on that basis. Because he doesn't do tshuva, and he doesn't have hirurim, which a normal person at that age should start thinking, you know, what's going to be tomorrow? Must I ask gam anoichi lebeisi? So how does that happen? He says, the Yetzer, he says, if he's so powerful, let me tell you something, it's not poshut. So I'm going to give you the Yetzer. Sheyase tachbulo ki ish milchama, shemara atzmai ki ilu einoi roitze lilochem. He says, the Yetzer is, don't put up a fight. So wait a minute, you don't put up a fight, you're finished. Ma'adachun, you put up a fight. He says, no, that's not what I mean. I don't mean that you should not intend to overcome the Yetzirah. He says, but sometimes the way you overcome the Yetzirah is not by a frontal attack. Because he gets very aggressive, he puts up a tremendous defense, and he overpowers you. It's like when somebody has a hand wrestle, so it depends whose muscles are stronger. But you got to do an ambush, you got to come from behind. You have to outwit him because you are outnumbered, so to speak, in Kayach. And he has 13 years over you, as it were. So, Lemaisa Eitza Yehutza Sheyase Tachbula Ke Ish Mochama, like a warrior. But this warrior, in particular, Mara Atzma Kilena Rotzeli Lochem, Acha Oiva Yisyaish Mimenu, the Yishkain Betach Bodod.
So he convinces the enemy that there's no fight. There's nothing to worry about. You've already won. And then va'oz befesa pisaim yokum alavi ko nefesh. Then when the other guy's not looking, he jumps up and he dalangs him and he's finished. So that's what he's supposed to do with the Yetzara. He says, David HaMelech used to say, I'm not going to the Beis Medrash. He didn't say, I'm going to the Beis Medrash. I'm going to see the sites. I'm going to the Empire State Building. He says that, so the Yetzar says, oh, that's good. That's good. I'm going to Manhattan. The Yetzar says, how are you going? He says, yeah, I'll probably take the subway. Oh, that's even better. and what avenue are you going on? He says, well, you know, it's probably around 42nd Street and 7th Avenue. Oh, Times Square. Yeah, Takatazay Hastas, Times Square. Oh, that's Mamish Gewaldig. So that's what he says. So the Yetzar says, now that I finished with him, it's a Chaim Yankel. So David HaMelech said, I'm going to look at a Beis Dira. He goes to look at a Beis Dira. And then he says, Pirush ani hoylich val yedezeh hoye yitzli boidel mimenu. The Yetzirah went away. Upisayim ayuragba malichus al Beis HaMedrash. And again, this idea that the Satan doesn't have time to catch up. But here you have also, it's interesting in the Yetzirah. But I'll discuss it a little bit more in a moment because there's a lot to say about this. He says, L'chein minagat tzadikim. This is where he comes into Arvart. It's very fascinating. Minagat tzadikim sha'aymim ma'at va'oysin harbei. Shekvar amru machshava mayelis ledivrei Torah. He says that even machshava is a problem. Kol shkein adibur. Shem yachshiv ha'odo mayoymar eshnekach v'kach ha'eset toiv kol kach. Yetzer samuch oymed olav. Samuch means nearby. He's hanging on these words to kill it. The Yetzer Hara does not want him to do the mitzvah. He does not want him to learn those blat gemara. Allah b'chol koychay, and he legs a chavek afyenim mit den ganzen koych from the Yetzer Hara that he possesses, which is enormous. I megalgal olav kama ikuvim v'kama minios. Again, he says Yetzer Hara. Now he's talking about megalgal olav. Sounds like the Satan, but he says it's going to be something that's going to come up, some way that's going to trip him up from being able to fulfill his rotzin. Lachay. Therefore, this is my idea. Im rachash li by dava toiv, tekev umiyad yitzarev ha-machshava toiv ulemaisa, im lo yuchal tekev la-asoysay, yikpoitz v'yishba la-asoysay, dechziv nishbati v'akayem lishma b'shpitei tzidkecho, hakol mitfash u'odem yizarev sasatzmai kasha yuchal. He says like this, and then he speaks about mitok shaloy lishma bo lishma. But it's very interesting. He seems to have gone from one nekuda to another, and they're both correct. The first nekuda that he mentioned is confuse the Satan and the Yetzirah. Don't make them... Now what he means is as follows. A person has an agenda that he's going to be a tzaddik. And he says, Beferish, this is my agenda. I am going to be a tzaddik. That agenda is fraught with unbelievable obstacles already. How could it be? And again, I repeat, comes along Reb Nachman Breslover, and he says, but if you're obsessed, he can't stop you. But obsessed is a very, very high madrega. You know what obsessed means? It doesn't mean necessarily that you have a dibuk and that you're crazy. Reb Zelma Levalojana, a sefer fell behind his Aron of Sfarim. Must have been on the top, and it fell behind the Aron of Sfarim. Everybody knows that Reb Zalman Lubalojna was as fragile as a person could be. He was very sickly all his life, and he died very young, Rahmanul Islam. But he was a goyim nifla, and he knew everything about that. Now, how much time would have passed until he got someone, let's say it happened even in the middle of it, how much time would have passed until he could have got someone to pick up that sefer for him by pushing the shrank and getting the sefer for him? And during that time, this kolatayra kolatachazer over. There's no problem. Reb Zalman Lubalojna goes over to the shrank, Azei Shteitna tells Adam the sefer about him, and he takes the sefer away. I mean, he pulls the shrank away, and he takes the sefer out, and he learns from the sefer. That's obsession. That's obsession, Rabbi say. That's not making cheshbon. It's not figuring out alternatives. Not looking for etzes. This is a person who's obsessed. He had a tremendous ikaron. They say that he did not refrain from chazering something over 200 times.
You know something? If you would learn something 200 times, there's a good chance you'd remember it forever. And maybe even me. So lemaisa, that's obsession. That's what he's talking about. And the same thing is true of mitzvahs and building the meshuggah in Brazil. It's the same point. If you are so completely obsessed by that demon to be matzliach in Torah and Yerushalayim, the Satan simply doesn't have the space left for him. That's the amazing thing. And the Yetzer Hara has been co-opted. So he's got it both ways. He owns the Yetzer Hara, and he has no room for the Satan to make trouble. There's no base achiza. It's like you have a something but doesn't have handles. You don't know how to get it. It slips through your fingers. There's no room left for this Satan. It's an amazing thing. But less than that. So he says, first of all, don't tell him what your plan is. So is that a child's play? Was the Satan stupid? But it's a tifa, very tifa. It's a very tifa. And there's a tendency we would like to explain it psychologically. I am not so confident that that's the correct way of looking at it. And then he says, don't think about it. Don't give that gap. Do it. By the time you finish doing it, the Satan's just woken up to the idea that you're planning to do it. It's too late. You've done it already. By the way, whether you explain it psychologically or explain it otherwise, the Eitzah Yehutzah is a fantastic Eitzah. Listen, everybody knows that there are certain housewives, nothing against them, believe me, but there are certain housewives that are planning to paint the house. They're planning to paint the house because they have already 15 years the house didn't know how to paint it. Very much entitled. Another 15 years pass by until they decide what color. Yeah, there are such housewives. What color? Because it's white for sure, but the shiloh is which one? Because there's Navajo white and there's bone white. And I don't mean we don't have time to waste, but there's like 400 whites. And that's just Benjamin Moore. Aber lemaisa rabbeisai, this nekuda, and of course, right? There's a whole psychology that once you give a person enough choices, somebody made a cheshbon with supermarkets, that a supermarket went way overboard and gave a person a million choices, nobody bought anything. Because they got hypnotized by the choices and they got so paralyzed they can't make a decision. That's on a certain level, on a certain psychological level. But I don't think that's what we're talking about either. It's just that there's like, when you have an idea, very often that idea has a pure makor. That's the point. There's a pure makor. And then the logic of the person gets involved to say to him, you can't handle this idea. This is too much for you. This isn't necessary. This is too extreme. This is for a tzaddik. Are you that kind of a tzaddik? And if the Satan is really interested in messing you up, he'll quote chapter and verse from Gemara and Rishonim and Achronim and Shulchan Aruch. He'll say, you know, there's an Indian of Mexico, you ever. And on and on and on and on. You know? It's not really clear to me to psychoanalyze this. Because I think there are these kaiches that come and they really try to trip you up. There's so many examples of that. It's unbelievable. I always point out, I had two Talmidim, and that will finish. The Rabbeinu Bechaye, you'll look at on your own. There's a Talmid that goes from the yeshiva by me. I encourage him, I push him, so to learn, where is he going to go? He's going to go to the Mir, fine. And he's going to get Chavrusas. We line up with Chavrusas, we line up with Rebbeim, and he's going, and he's enthusiastic, and he wants to shteig, he really wants to become a major Talmud Chacham. There's no doubt about it, that's what he wants. And he's overcome so many obstacles already, and this is where he's holding. Another Talmud, another year, the same thing. One of them comes, and 6 months later he's back in America. I say, Yankele, again, what happened? He says he came, his chavrusa didn't work out. Couldn't find another chavrusa. didn't understand the Rebbe so well. I think that's a vita, vita. So what? So what happened? You went to another yeshiva? No, you know, another yeshiva. I didn't know. Maybe it'll get better tomorrow. And the Tzachazei Arum Gedreit and the Maisa said, "We're not going to yeshiva." He married a girl that he shouldn't have married. No, I don't mean she's a bad girl, but it was not on his madrega. And Memela, the next step was that he became a chrezib's lawyer, and then he's working for his father-in-law, and chul. And this happened, it's also that his Lamaisi has a tremendous cheshik for Torah, so he's a very fine balabas right now, which is fine. It's fine, but it's not the she'ifa that he had for himself. Another Talmud went, and he just listened to Maisa, mamish dova vihifucha, like you never saw. The opposite to an extreme, to a fault. He comes, there's no chavrusa for him. Heck, all of his plans are going up in smoke. Imagine sitting amongst thousands of people and there's nobody to talk to, nobody to learn with. So the mashgiach, whoever was taking care, was saying, listen, you'll hang in there, we'll find somebody for you. And he's expecting a shor yerachas person, because was going to want to learn with him in the middle of his mat. The best chavrusa he could possibly have had, I don't know if the best Talmud in the yeshiva, but for him it was the best chavrusa possible in the world, was busy learning with somebody who took sick. That fellow took sick, he was left without a chavrusa. So he says, he goes over to him, can you imagine? He says, maybe you'd like to learn with me, I see you're learning by yourself. He says, I don't know who you are, but okay, I have better than nothing, it's a chavrusa of the century. Und gestiegen, and Lord's Torah and the Gabon and Mayri Dika Talmud Chokam. Two people. I don't know which one was the bigger Balkishan. I don't know which one had the greater enthusiasm for learning. And they basically had essentially the same backgrounds, and they all fought and struggled to reach that Madrega to go to Eretz Yisrael. This is the second time in Eretz Yisrael. First, you go to Hezdi Yeshiva, you understand. Now they're going to learn for the rest of their lives. But give a kuka maisa sot. You can't explain that because of the person's inclinations. His inclination was 100%. Maisa sot. This is a fact. And it's in everything like that. Things go well, and all of a sudden there's some monkey wrench. You didn't do it, you didn't deal with it, you didn't create it, you didn't make it happen. So why is it there? So the Torah says it's a nisayon. Yeah, but that's a ma'aseh son. Of course it's a nisayon, because a person is obligated to respond to the matzav that he's in and overcome it. But you understand very well. And that's like that in everything. In business, it's also like that. In business, you make yourself a beautiful store, and it's mamish tons of money, and everything is wonderful. And then they let out that this area has a poison gas in the ground or whatever it is. What do they call that? Pollution. There's chemicals in the ground, and everybody moves away, and he's left with his store. And Kleinigkeit. So go figure it out. That's a mamish ma'aseh satan. The whole of life is a combination of the yetzer hara and the ma'aseh satan. He says, the Rabbeinu, the Pele Yoyetz, you want an yetzer for me? Don't give him a chance to put his foot in the door. Do it right away. Let that machshava tahara not be contaminated by the satan's interruptions or by the yetzer hara's logic. And Bezus Hashem Yisbarach, a person will be matzliach in ways that he can't even imagine.